Hey now.
Hey now.
Bachelor, PhD coming at you. Me and Easy are holding down the pod while Caitlin will be with us in about 10 minutes. She's running a little bit late this morning due to other meetings. Easy, I'm a little disappointed in True Detective Season 4, Night Country. Mm-hmm. They did not mention The Bachelor in this episode 3 that was aired on Sunday night.
Well, I don't need to hear every single update because I haven't even started watching it yet.
Well, they were 2 for 2 was mentioning The Bachelor, and then they could have kept that going, you know?
Okay, they Craig. Didn't. I'm glad you bring this up. Craig, since it's just you and me, I have to ask you a question. Who would you rather console? Lauren.
Console?
Yes. Because I know you love consoling women.
Okay.
You hate
I do?
It. You hate what? It. That's like your nightmare. Right?
How do you know?
I know you. I know you too well. You do not want to get into a mind battle with me, Craig. I know all your secrets. You hate consoling women. So Lauren with the crying dad or Sippy Poo with the cheating past that she calls trauma. Now, is it trauma? Don't think so.
Well, I don't like either person.
Oh, wait. Let me add one thing. Also, this is the second time you've ever talked to these women. Probably the second day you've ever met them. Like, day after you met them.
I'm going to read your mind, EZR. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that when it comes to Lauren's dad being dead for 7 months, your response to that is people die all the time.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
I think that is actual trauma.
Oh, really? I thought you'd be like, people die all the time, and it's just, you gotta get over it. You gotta prepare for death.
Oh, no. I mean, I agree on some level, but I think you're taking it way out of context. Huh. This woman should not be on a reality TV show, 100%. You need a lot of time to heal, especially from the opposite sex parent death. Because the opposite sex parent, if you're heterosexual, heteronormative society, the opposite sex parent sets you up for a lot of things in life.
Well, both parents do, but yeah, I see your point.
Right. But there's something about, right, you know, Oedipus things.
Okay, so who would I console? Let me see. I don't like Lauren.
Exactly. That's a conundrum, is that Lauren is so obnoxious, but her trauma is actual trauma.
Now, the sister's not acting out on her trauma.
Right. Not yet.
Not yet. That's true. Not yet. Well, who was the other one? What's her name?
Sippy Poo.
Sippy Poo.
She got cheated on. She doesn't want to get too excited, even though she just met him. Okay, so they come up. Sippy Poo comes up to you and goes like, I don't want to get too excited about you, Craig, because I've been cheated on.
I know. She was like, when I was in junior high, my boyfriend cheated on me. Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. And she's crying because she doesn't want to get too excited about Joey. And I think that. The term that I hear a lot, and we've never quite talked about because it is pedestrian, but I love hearing, I think it's a genuine trauma, you know, as a term, as if, first off, it always refers to not genuine trauma.
What does?
Whenever they say the term genuine trauma, she's like, I have genuine trauma over this. No, I don't know. I just, you know, I just fill in the blank because as you do, I kind of glaze over when I hear not genuine trauma.
Right.
No, I think Lauren's dad's death 7 months ago means do not do anything big, life-changing in any way for the next year. Kind of like AA, right? So that you do not make big decisions or big mistakes.
Right.
So because of that, Allison, the sister, shouldn't be there either. But that's beside the point. Who would you rather sit with? Because Joey your face behind his smiling mask.
You can't ask that question because they're both going to get cut, and they both are just
So, yeah, but I mean, have to sit with them for hours anyway, even if they are going to get cut. I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because that's kind of my next point, is that he's going to sit through a lot. You're going to get cut, but he's going to have a smiling face the whole time. Right. How long before he cracks?
Because he has a Joker mask. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, no, the isn't the Joker not, you know, he's the real authentic version. Right? That's the point of the Joker. But I get what you're saying.
The point of the Joker is he's got an authentic something?
Yeah, he's like the humanity's id.
Oh, I see.
So
I got it.
Yeah. But yes, I think Joey is going to have to put up with a lot this season.
Okay, let's turn this around then. You're having a bad day. Would you want to be consoled by Joey?
Oh, no. Not by... No. I do not want anyone's fake anyone's, you know, platitudes. And he does it throughout the episode.
Right.
Right? He keeps saying stuff like, oh, my God, take as much time as you need. You haven't, you know...
what's he supposed to say? I mean, come on. There's only so many things you can say in either of those situations. And he said...
I guess, except that plenty of people are genuine about it. I don't feel like he was genuine, right? He doesn't care.
Well, to be fair, it's Lauren.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of here. Go cut yourself. And then and then Kissy Poo is like also really kind of overbearing.
Yeah, Kissy Poo, classic. Okay, fine. I don't want to jump to the end of the episode because we got a lot of meat to talk about in the middle here. Yeah. But I am going to play this because this has to be the best, most hilarious moment of the night.
First thing she said to me is she's leaving. I died. I didn't expect that. I thought I was checking in on her, but she's made her mind up. I feel terrible. No, I wish I could say or do something, but I can tell that you've gotten to a point where you're over it, which is okay.
No. Don't change your mind now. Just go. Just go. I'm so sad you're leaving.
Yeah.
I love it. That was so good.
Yeah.
What a liar.
He walked in on her doing a thingy, right? A thing to the camera. Isn't that true?
That she was like, it's, I can't, I think so. I didn't really.
And so she couldn't retract from that point because she'd already told the camera that she wanted to quit.
That makes sense. Yes.
So he's like, I get that you're over with and that's okay.
But he wanted her. Okay, Caitlin, did Lauren want Joey to beg her back?
Oh, we're talking about older sister. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
No. It's hard to say, honestly, at that point because it felt like she was so, so determined. She had said it to everyone. You know, she was like, and she didn't really give him a good lead in to make sense to beg her back because he was already pretty sympathetic about it, you know.
But Craig's theory is that she was standing in front of the camera and was like, I'm just leaving. That's it. And then he walked in on that. And so she had to follow through.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she might have just been done with it and decided to go out. I don't know what was going on with her because that earlier date, the wedding dress one, when she was upset because she was thinking about her father who had recently died, I thought that like Joey handled that really well when she talked to him about it later, you know? Mm-hmm. I thought that went perfect. So it was like, oh, so that doesn't seem to be a problem anymore. But then all of a sudden she was upset that she hadn't spoken to him yet. And then was she drunk maybe? Is that what was going on?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, she should be constantly drunk 6 months after your dad dies. That's like a given.
Yeah, because it was just such a like, you know, when she was talking to her sister about it before that, and her sister was like, you know, just calm down, basically, like, don't get in your head. And it was like, nope, I'm already in my head. I'm done. You know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a possibility Joey could have talked her out of it if he had gone in some very dramatic, like, I know we have a real connection sort of thing.
Right.
Well, we
but
were just
I think
laughing.
He was so surprised. Yeah. Like, no, he well, didn't we, even want to do that, you know?
We were laughing at how he definitely had a, that's okay, you don't have to change your mind. I will accept
please, it's cool.
That you are leaving. It is not a problem. I am so sorry this happened this way, but don't let me talk you out of it. You know, like, he had a, that was the funniest night of the, moment of the night for me.
Yeah, I
for
think
sure.
His face was literally like, what the hell is this? And of course I'm going to let you leave.
Yeah. Which was great. Good, you know, he had to. He found a way out and he took it, which is kind of backing up my point that he is just the two-faced. Anyway, look.
I don't know if it's that as much
I
as
know.
The way I sort of read it is, you know, there's still so many women. He doesn't have a connection with her. So ultimately, if it's like, this lady is having a very hard time and she just said she wants to leave, yeah, definitely let her go, you know?
Yeah. Well, also, it's her, right? She's been a brat since...
Yes, she's been wild since the moment they met, and I don't think he was ever really interested in her. If anything, the younger sister was the one with the shot, you know?
I love it. What did he say? He said something like, this was not the best way for us to form a connection, and that's okay. Another life, maybe. Goodbye. I love it.
I
but
see, so
that's all suave.
When uh-huh. she said, maybe I'll see you at hometowns.
Yeah.
Which could happen.
Right.
It is totally possible that that could happen. I don't know if it's super... It's hard to tell where the younger sister sits in the... list of preference right now, so I don't know if she'll make it there or not, but
I know. Imagine that. Imagine like you hit it off with the younger sister and then you're like, oh shit, I gotta deal with the older sister.
Yeah, imagine being like, I know what at least one member of that family is like, and they're pretty hard to deal with. So,
and Ezra and I were saying that the younger sister's dealing with 7-month dead dad trauma too.
Yes. And I think, like, I have to assume that they talked about that at some point and that wasn't shown. Or maybe they didn't talk about it in the mansion, but they've obviously talked about it before. But younger sister wasn't on the wedding dress date where Maria specifically mentioned her dad being at the wedding. And that seemed like that touched off the emotion there, right? Like, so I wonder if, well, it's also completely possible that just the younger sister is much better at, like,
right.
dealing with her emotions.
Right. So speaking of emotions, so before you got on, I asked, or I predicted what EZR's reaction to the dead dad would be. And so what do you think EZR's reaction to it was? To her dad being dead.
Oh,
Craig was way off, so don't even take it as a...
I was going to say, I didn't have an immediate thought of, like, how easier it would feel.
Yeah, why would anybody?
Sister's dead dad. I mean, the way I felt about it was like, oh, I feel sad for her. Like, that's hard to have that sudden mm-hmm. thought in the middle of a group date, right?
Okay,
I can see why that would make you be, like, quiet and withdrawn and upset. I think the problem with her is not that moment. It's pretty much everything else.
Yeah, that honestly explains all her other behavior, because that is not a good time to be on TV, is after a parent, any parent, either parent. But I was telling Craig that. Craig.
See, I thought EZR would be like, oh, people die all the time. And
no.
Yes, because you've said that in the past.
Maybe when they're like, my grandma's cousin died, but when they're like, my dad died, holy crap, you need time.
But before before like I mean, it wasn't that long ago, it was like 1920 is when penicillin was invented, right?
That's
before
right.
that
yeah. what?
For all yeah. of human history, for all of human history up until about 100 years ago,
yeah,
people died all the time,
and kids used to plow fields,
yeah.
and
yeah,
they were just born to work. I mean,
societal condition in the United States right now than that. Where I thought you were going with that, Craig, when you first mentioned penicillin, I thought you had done some research, and her dad died of something that would have been prevented by penicillin.
Yeah, amoxicillin or something. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, like I was like, wait, what are you talking about? No, I think it does make more sense, but I also get the sense from Lauren, the older sister, that this isn't solely dad death grief. I think she is somebody who is like, wants to be the center of attention all the time, and that helps explain some of her other stuff, and clearly has some weird competitive issues with her sister.
Okay, hold on. Going back a second. Put Lauren, it's 1880.
Oh my goodness.
In the city.
Lauren would not have survived like being 15. You know?
Well, that's my point. Like, how did humans get through all
and
this?
And Lauren,
man?
And Allison are both dating the same upperclassman. Right.
Yeah. The gentleman caller.
Yes. No, I mean, I think this is...
How did humans survive? Glad. There would have been trauma everywhere you turned.
Yes, but you were much more... You're both used to it, but also people still grieved. You know what I mean? Like, when they talk about how high the child death rate was...
Yeah, 50%.
There's all this stuff about, like, famous authors from that era where you know from their diaries and things that they were messed up about their child's death for the rest of their life, right?
Well, so, like, also
there was a difference between public presentation and private presentation back then, too, I think.
But all also, right. Craig, we talk about Maslow's pyramid all the time. Like, you know, humanity has been slowly rising on it, and so the higher you get on it, the more... You know, oh, every time I drive, the sun's in my eyes. Like, that's not a real problem. But it is if that's your only problem. You know, so you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
I think it's a real problem if it's your if it's not.
Yeah. You're being a bit cavalier about her being upset about her dad's death, because I do think, on the one hand, yes, contestants all the time will talk about somebody dying. However, sometimes when they bring it up, it is somebody of a... normal age to die, like a grandparent, and that can still mess you up if you're very close with them.
Okay. Well, how old is she
at her age? Right, she's I think 28.
Okay, that I was her.
You
age
do not expect your
died.
Parent to be necessarily dying when you're 28.
Well, my mom died when I was exactly her age, so
and you
so
are you deeply should have, traumatized.
Yeah, you should have sympathy for what she's going through, because to me,
obviously.
I'm a decade older than her, basically, and I'm not ready to deal with my parents' death, you know?
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, Craig. I don't think... it's just like, do not... You should be your own best example.
I'm not that traumatized.
Right, Craig, what if 6 months after your mom died, you were on national TV dating the same person as your sibling?
As your brother, yeah.
Doesn't matter. I would have loved it. I would have.
Yeah.
I would have soaked up
more trauma,
some sort of weird
through.
Behavior, is what I'm saying. Not that you wouldn't have loved it, but is it possible that you would have acted really odd on TV and not exactly known why?
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. Look, guys. Craig texted something to us that I thought was very important thing to say.
I did.
But, yeah.
Which is what?
Look back on your text, Craig. You said Daisy's the winner. No question.
Well.
Right? I did see that, yeah.
I mean, let's get this straight. I mean, the show's not over yet.
Sure.
I'm not putting that down as my, like.
No, I get you.
I'm in one of these, what are they called? These like fantasy leagues.
Yes. Yeah. No, look, I'm not trying to.
But Daisy, like, put Daisy you in a corner is like the perfect bachelor contestant.
Yes, she is perfect.
She could not be any better in any category than her.
Totally agree. But here's my issue. I think there's something to that, and I want to go beyond that, but I'm going to have to speak through the fact in my head, the fact that I think that Joey is what would you call it? I think he's playing a game. I think he's putting on a facade for the show, unlike a lot of other bachelors have done. Does that make sense?
I don't know.
I mean, I think we don't have enough evidence to support your theory yet.
I understand that. I think I do. I thought this through charity season. But my point of saying this is that what I'm going to break down is through that lens. So I want to make sure we get that clear. I know you're going to argue with me on like my premise. My premise is that he is not a genuine guy. But I'd like to say something about Daisy being, you know, a front runner at least. But I get your point, Craig. So I want to hear where Daisy and Joey's first date. Daisy has a cochlear implant and she explains it to him. And she is, I mean, in quotes to me. Well, now, here's my
not only that,
rolling the eyes.
She had Lyme disease and needed to go to Germany to get a month's worth of treatment.
Right. And here's kind of where I roll my eyes, though, is not at the acquiring of the diseases or the problems that come with it. I roll my eyes at that anyone would ever, like, what does she say? She says, like, that you would stop talking to her or react negatively because of her story. Like, that's not going to happen in today's society, Daisy. It's not going to happen, right? Are we clear? Are we up to there? Is that true for anybody? Would anyone react negatively? Yeah,
no one would care that she...
I mean, I think that I can get the fear of worrying about it, right? Because it's not necessarily super logical. But on TV, certainly, I don't think anyone that you're dating on a reality TV show would be like, well, I'm simply no longer into you. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't...
Well,
Caitlin, do you think that anyone has reacted off TV negatively to
it? Yeah. Let me answer that. Because I read, are you on 2X chromosomes on Reddit?
No.
It's like stories of like women. It's like a women support group. But like I was automatically added to it when I joined Reddit.
Here he's explaining why
I was automatically added to this women's group on Reddit.
But you should read some of the shit that women have to deal with first dates, man.
In
the real world, it is very possible she would meet.
Yeah, like some guy would be like, I can't deal with that.
No.
Yeah, would be like, I can't deal with somebody who's not whole and perfect.
To get out of something?
Deaf, can't maybe be together. So that could happen in real world.
Yeah, there could be some like incel, like racial... Purity, yes.
Craig.
Do you think there would be people who are like that? She is not necessarily super likely to have been attracted to somebody like that, but it is not impossible that that could happen in a real world situation. I do not think any bachelor would act that way.
I also don't think that anyone, I think that that's could be like something you say to get out of something, but I don't think it's a real concern. I don't think it's a real concern. I really don't.
I think there's a lot of just creeper guys out there.
Yeah, that's different though. That's different. Okay. I do want to go beyond that though, and here is her explaining it to him, or him like reacting after she explained it, because we don't need to hear it again.
Me a little different.
That's what's most impressive about it though, is you're wearing it with pride, you have this confidence about it, and you want to make a job out of it.
Dollar signs, help other people.
I don't know, it's extremely inspiring to me. And this has only made you seem more interesting, more impressive, more wanting for me to just, see where all this goes.
I was worried about, like, putting that on somebody. Like, it can be a lot and overwhelming.
Okay, I'm going to read your mind again, EZR.
No, I just said it. I just told you what I thought, uh-huh.
No, about her starting a nonprofit.
Yeah, dollars. He sees dollar signs in that,
well,
for sure.
Go ahead. Because as you would say... Mm-hmm. You have to be, only the wealthy are privileged enough to start nonprofits.
Sure. Remember, there was a sister of some contestant. I mean, I know exactly who it was on Colton season, who died and started a foundation.
Yeah.
Now, normally when things happen to people, all they can do is live with it. But to make a living off of it, it seems like a privilege more than a disadvantage, right?
Right.
So I do want to break down the actual, like, front runner status of hit. So I can see him already having made up his mind, especially someone who has a great story like this, because unlike what you guys are saying, this is Bachelor Gold, right? It's it's just, and I'm going to speak very crassly about it, it's just adverse enough that people will feel bad for you, but not so adverse that it's debilitating in any way, especially not on camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and I feel like if I'm continuing my through line here that Joey's kind of deceptive, is that Joey can now sit back and play the game of The Bachelor. And it's like getting all your homework done on Friday before you leave school, you know? He can look very interested in women of color, in women with a lot of integrity. He can give them their space to tell their stories. And if you're playing the Bachelor game, you know that a lot of these women are going to be stars, even bachelorettes, and even maybe even bigger than him, right? So it's good to make your connections. And to say, oh, that's my ex over there. I don't see color. You know how they do that.
And then just pick Daisy in the end anyway. And
yeah, pick the blonde like they always do. And not only that, no one can – oh, she has a cochlear implant. You know, she's not just some blonde.
Right.
And so when I don't know.
Your point's been made.
Yeah. He's in a good place. He can give out all the roses. He can give them their space. And I can play Edwina's, you know, his reaction to Edwina kind of sealed it up for me in this episode. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, I know what you're saying. I do want to make sure we're not being too dismissive of the fact that Daisy has a disability, right? That, like, while she might be a white blonde woman, she is still doing something that, you know, is not widely represented on reality TV at this point, and is something that I can still understand, like Craig and I were talking about, being afraid of dating, that you might run into one of those weird, like, white supremacy people who would be like, but you're imperfect, so you're not a good candidate, you know what I mean? Like, There is that real fear, even if it wouldn't happen in this environment because it's televised, right? Mm. And I do think while she is the front runner right now, that is not a guarantee that she is who he picks at the end. I do think she will go very far. I think she's going to be top three, absolutely. I also think if she's not the one he picks, she is an excellent candidate for next Bachelorette.
Right.
Yes.
So she's not going to have a bad experience on this show, but that does not mean that she hasn't had bad experiences outside of this show.
So if her disadvantage gives her only opportunities and only, like, you know, because of that, that sets her over the top. What does that, I mean, this is reality TV. I can't treat her like an individual.
Because of that, because we have had another, Abigail also had a cochlear implant and was on this show and has had a successful reality TV run and, you know, is now engaged to somebody else from the Bachelor universe. But she was not considered for Bachelorette.
No, well, see, there's a little bit of a difference there.
Well, I think the biggest difference to me, if I'm thinking like a producer, is not just the fact that they each have a very similar disability, is that Daisy grew up on a Christmas tree farm.
Yeah, exactly.
And that puts it over the top.
Well,
I think, okay, wait a minute. If we're going to speak crassly, I think Daisy being blonde, that's the truth, is huge to this, to being like the Bachelorette, although I do think she might win. And because Joey, you know, needs a woman like that to tell his story with. And secondly, and this is going to, you know, sound harsh, but Abigail was born not hearing. So she speaks like that. And Daisy doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they have different, they have the same type of implant, but Daisy was born hearing and basically lost her hearing through an illness, whereas Abigail was born already without hearing and therefore has that type of speech that is characterized by deaf people who can verbalize, but always have like that slight little accent from not exactly knowing what it sounds like.
So I can't take her like the whole, like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, we got, I think people will reject you for anything. And I don't think she's at some crazy disadvantage. In fact, in this world, it gives her an advantage.
I would say in this world, it gives her an advantage, but I don't want to overlook the fact that this is a specific type of world that is not necessarily reflective of other situations you can be in, right?
Yeah. I just don't see this. I can't see this as like an individual. I can only see it as played well. And I don't even want to concentrate on Daisy because this is not like necessarily.
Well, what
about
was
her
my name. Other text, EZR?
What was it?
Oh, I know what it was. He's already decided who number three is. He thinks she was right. Number one and three, but not number two, which I was curious about. It's Maria.
Maria's the sex pick.
Right, yeah. Right. And you know what? I will get to the sex pick part, but I just want to wrap up my like. Joey is now in the decided camp. You know, he knows what he's going to pick. He knows what book he's going to write about. He can relax for a little while. He doesn't have to, you know, he's getting his homework done early.
Many of the bachelors and bachelorettes think they already know within the first week or so. They're like, sure. I'm pretty sure it's this person.
Yeah,
and
isn't that what
all my other conversations are simply...
Right.
Having conversations
platitudes.
To
yes.
no real end.
Yeah, didn't Nick Viall prove that? Is that what he said in his book or something?
I think especially a lot of bachelors prove that. There's very few times where a bachelorette has just picked one guy and that's been it. I think like Ashley and JoJo are the two that come to mind that there was no real competition there. But the way he does this is really calculating to me. So here he is with Edwina on his first date. I mean, I'm not going to play her part because this is about how I think he is kind of deceptive.
I feel like I work really hard today just to show you I want to be here. Like, I want to spend time with you and open up because I don't know how to be vulnerable and it's hard for me. So.
Okay. That's the first time I've kind of ever heard you say something like that. So
the first time
asking,
you just met yesterday.
Maybe understand a little bit more why you think that's the case.
And then she talks, and then he reacts, and now he's going to react.
I didn't think I was going to cry.
It's okay. I'm right here. Take your time as much as you need.
Take your time as much as you need. Now that to me is like done. You guys, you fill the screen. Fill the screen up for me because I am going to make sure. I feel like that guy that brought the Bachelor playbook. Remember that guy that had notes?
Yeah.
This is this. These are the notes.
Yeah, the notes.
We're watching the notes in real time.
Okay. I do think you are missing what makes Joey so attractive to the audience and these women, right? And it's not just he's got a handsome face. What I've been reading in the online comments is that conversations like this, where he specifically says, you know, like, oh, you've just said this. Can you explain that? A lot of women online are reacting to extremely positively because it is a little bit better than what we've seen in some past Bachelors who will be like, you know, she would say that and be like, thank you for being vulnerable. No follow-up question. Right?
I think
the fact that there's a follow-up there makes them be like, wow, the bar is very low. Like Jocelyn was texting this. We'd be like, yeah, the bar for men is in hell, basically. Because it's like, wow, he asked me a follow-up question? Marriage. You know?
Yeah. And honestly, I think Gary, the Golden Bachelor, did it actually correctly. The way that I feel like a follow-up question actually should be framed.
It's different. Right.
It took a 70-year-old
young
man.
Bachelors, not Gary, who is the perfect older man.
Right. So he's my bar, whereas Joey is on par with a lot of the men. I feel like Matt James did the same thing. You know, he just did not take the information, process it, deliver it back, and ask a question. He just asked a natural follow-up question. So I know that seems slight. But I do think there's a difference there, and I don't see Joey as any different from a lot of the more, you know, normal-ish bachelor. I can't think, the only bachelor I can think of that was kind of into himself was like Nick Viall, you know, like I didn't really quite see this. I don't see any genuineness or any real thought, except for I do feel like at this point he's coasting, and if men learn one thing, that they need to learn and that they do learn kind of early on is to kind of look interested, shut your mouth, let everyone else talk. And that's what he's doing. He's doing it well.
Yeah, but I think you're also missing that so many men don't learn that lesson, so that it is uncommon for women, especially in their 20s, right, who are the age of the vast majority of these contestants, although we can get back to that later, that it is rare to even have somebody who seems like they're listening to you. Like, what Joey does really well is that he does that eye contact. He looks directly at them. He holds the gaze. He asks the follow-up question, and he at least seems like he's listening. Whether or not that's shallow and surface level, that is still actually better than the vast majority of men in that age group, which is wild to say.
But not the bachelors. I feel like all the bachelors...
Some of them it is better than, right? Like, there are some with less natural charisma to carry it off and things like that. I think he comes across really well in comparison to, say, like, Clayton or Zach, our two most recent guys.
I think Zach was a listener, actually. I do. And I think what's setting people over the edge here is that Joey has a better face. And that is not, like, that is not enough for me.
Does he?
Yes, Zach listened. I think people are forgetting that. He did listen. And
he could have those major blunders at the end of his season.
Sure, and I don't doubt that Joey will...
Change the way you think about
it. Right, Joey is not going to have those blunders, because I think it's all part of the machine. I can't imagine him having a blunder, because he's too calculating. And I get what's going on. I get what women see in him. I could tell when when we look at the contestants for charity season, that's the first thing Craig said. He said, "You're gonna like Joey."
Yes,
because he
reminded
face
us of your
Peter
other
Pilot.
Favorites in the past. Peter
yeah,
Pilot. He had
and
that
sure,
vibe.
But as soon as he kind of did his, you know, the okay, yeah, as soon as he kind of showed himself on camera a few times, I was like, nope, he's not this guy. I'm saying this as someone who can be in real life a very good first impression teaser outer. So, like, a lot of my friends come to me and go, like, tell me if this guy's real or not. I'm like, okay. But I get it. I get that women are into him. I get that he looks very good on TV. I agree. But I don't see, I see calculated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still see it.
I still just see a really handsome face.
Sure. Sure. I get that. I do too. But.
My mind's not made up yet.
Okay. I got it. No, I understand. And I understand why. I think it does kind of come down to is the, you know, and people say this, and I kind of was, you know, it, a blonde will win.
Okay.
And that's kind of worth, that's kind
of
worth analyzing. So in and of itself. So let's just save that. Save that till the last episode. All right. But back to your
say that was interesting to me, because my sense of who the women he seems to be favoring is that they're mostly brunettes. I think brunette might be his actual natural
right.
type, and Daisy is the exception.
Is Lexi blonde?
We'll see.
I don't know. She's kind of like a brown with blondish highlights thing going on.
Well, we shall see.
And what about Kelsey A? Is she blonde?
I would say that's brown hair.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
There you go.
We shall see.
We shall see.
I think my point is that it's never not going to be a white woman. So he can give this platform to all the women in the room, but what's really going to happen? And you know what? Like,
yes.
Like I was saying, it's smart to give the, let's just forget about the point of giving the platform. It's smart of him to give the platform, because many women from Zach's seasons are way bigger than him. No one remembers, you know, Kylie is has way more Instagram followers than Zach, I'm sure, at this point, right? No one remembers a lot of the bachelors, but the women that come out of it. So it's smart for him to make these ties early on. and not burn any bridges. And I think that's part of my my premise is something that people are going to argue with. I get it. Also, it's week two. I understand that that's like not going to go over well, but I'm here and I've been here since charity season. So I watch it through that lens at all times. And believe me, if I feel like things are changing, I will say it. I have no problem saying like, if I'm wrong, you know what, like things aren't what they seem. Okay. Yeah, I agree. But that's just kind of the what I have going on. And now I want to remind you guys of something too, just for like our future talks here, our future podcast episodes. There was some scenes in charity season where he really had to backpedal, and people like Caitlin just kept looking at his handsome face and not listening. There was a scene at a waterfall where he was like, I didn't mean to say that. Da, da, da. You know, he let his mask slip a little bit. And I keep going back to that analogy. Anyway, I feel like
I don't remember any of this.
Right. Exactly. His handsome face erases it. Yes.
Is he that handsome? I mean,
yes.
I mean, I think he is.
He's made more handsome by nodding his head and staring at people.
And the way he like looks at you and smiles, etc. He's not like literally a model, but especially for Bachelor handsome, he's way handsomer than most of our standard bachelors.
And the difference is he's the kind of man that women actually like.
Yes.
And I know
that seems like a guy you could meet
he's accessible, cute, right? Yes. He has that look that people are like, oh, you know, in a rom-com, especially a teen rom-com, he'd be like self-deprecating. He'd be like, oh, you know, I'm not the quarterback.
On charity season, people were assuming he must be really short as well. And part of that is just because all of her men were like 6'5", and he's not. He's like 5'10 or 5'11". Mm-hmm. So he is also like an average height man.
Yeah.
So yeah, he seems more normal in certain ways. But yeah, I would say for America's audience, he is one of the hottest bachelors we've seen in a very long time. And so that definitely plays into his popularity. I mean, you've even seen, right, like, the viewership numbers have gone up for the first time in, like, 10 seasons or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, America is loving him, basically.
All right. Well, I'm still team John Stamos.
Oh, my God. Okay, Maria, I love how he phrases this, too. Maria and Kelsey, you know, get his penis excited, and he keeps saying, oh, they keep me on my toes, He has another euphemism that he uses all the time, like, oh, I got to keep my eye on her, meaning he wants to have sex with them.
Got to keep my eye on her. I have to say, I am very much enjoying Maria on this show, in part because she is, like, so over the top at times. Like, that let me slip into something more comfortable moment made me laugh really hard because it was... I mean, I guess I can see conceivably how it might be more comfortable because her first dress had like a weird corset in it or something, but it was still like she literally came out in a bra and a skirt and was like, that's so much better. I'm so comfy.
Yeah, now I can let my stomach hang out.
And the producers had to be in on that.
Weird... Oh, yeah. I mean, she has to take a bag with her.
Yeah, yes, well, they would have had to keep him from getting pulled by another woman in order for her to have time to go get changed.
Yes, because she was definitely gone for at least a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. You know how long it takes a woman to change?
My goodness. Correct. 50s all over again.
Yeah, very 50s. I was going to say it would take, I'm going to say around 10 minutes, but that's partially because she also has to take off that microphone pack and put it back on.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Hair and makeup are already done, so there's nothing to do there. But yes, they definitely were in on the whole thing. They kept him from being pulled by somebody else in that meantime. And the other women's faces when she came out wearing a totally different outfit and is like, oh, yeah, it was just uncomfortable. So I decided to change into this. And they're all like, what?
Yeah, the whole thing was very weird. But it's Maria. So you kind of like, or I, you know, I kind of like,
yes,
was like, okay, whatever.
And roll with it. And they're like, oh, it's just Maria. Like, I have been enjoying her partially because she is so wild at times. I mean, at that wedding date, She mentions that her dad runs a sprinkle business.
Yeah, sprinkles company.
So I just feel like there's a lot of comedy to be had with Maria on this season that I am really... And I was also on her side in that, as she referred to it, like the dumbest drama ever situation of being like, you have upset this other woman by saying that you're the same age as her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Sydney is definitely jealous of her, right? That's the issue. Oh,
Sydney is like, I gotta bring her down whatever way I'm going about it, because as we can see in how it sort of played out, it becomes kind of obvious that Sydney didn't even really hear a full sentence that was offensive, because when she's asked to say what was offensive about it, she can't repeat anything. She has no idea. She just knows that Maria said Medina's name mm-hmm. in a conversation to somebody else, which automatically means she was shit talking her. And therefore that's like what you're going to go on. But she can't say what the bad thing that Maria said is. So it's like a very weak attack on her.
Mm. Yeah.
Dead and air. Yeah, I'm on the side of it's Medina, who's 31. She's the oldest woman there. And she's upset about that because biological clock. And Maria basically says, like, I'm the same age and I don't think it's a problem, you know?
Yeah, the whole thing was very... I mean, we've had conversations about age on the podcast. And,
yeah,
I mean, there's not much to say about it, I guess.
It's Joey. Joey's 28, right? Mm-hmm.
The so issue is just kids. I mean, the issue yes. is viable eggs. And it's they just don't say eggs, that.
And she still has years that are good in there. It's not like the end of the world, but... And I guess I say this as a woman who doesn't want children, that I'm like, listen, if you're saying this kind of stuff on TV that make you sound so desperate, you need to really rethink your life goals here, you know?
Well, right. Her life goal is to probably have kids. And that's what she means, right?
And if that's what you want, just find a guy not on TV and just go for it.
Yeah. Go on 2X chromosomes and...
Yes, because I'm like, if you're 31 and you're really, really worried that you're not going to find somebody in time to be able to have children, I would say going on The Bachelor is probably the worst approach, because mm-hmm. you know, first of all, there's like, you know, you've got a 1 in 30 chance of being the winner or whatever, right? But then even if you do make it to those top few, you know, there's at least going to be a lead time. Like if you're chosen, you're not going to get married for at least another year or so. So then you're not going to have kids for, what, another 2-3 years? If you're The Bachelorette, add another year-ish onto that.
Oh, no, this is...
It's not necessarily the fastest track to finding somebody to have children with.
Yeah.
She's finally on the show, and she's like, now I am... Now I feel the pull. It's like, why didn't you feel it, like, 2 years ago? That's when you should have started your search for sperm search.
Oh my goodness.
That's the new TV show coming to ABC next year, is Sperm Search.
Yeah, Craig, I have like, that's the thing, is that these are all weird euphemisms for things. I'm like, why don't you guys just say what it is? It's very weird that they're like beating around the bush about them. I'm like, what? Right. Just say it. Say the thing.
Okay, EZR, you need to go. So we're going to do fashion. And then you're going to go.
Yeah. So
play the drop and we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
This is not the fashion round.
Oh, no, not that one.
People
are wearing. No. Never play that again.
So upset about that one. And I think that my voice sounds worse than yours. So.
Yeah, well, easier to like slowed it down or something. I don't know. The whole thing sounds very strange. Okay, fashion. So do we need to talk about anything else before we get to fashion? Do we need to talk about this like paintball thing they did, or
why don't we do the
wedding thing they did?
Let's do some fashion now, and then we'll return to the other group date and the ending of the episode. So do you have any looks that stand out for you that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I thought Daisy looked cute in her pink dress. I'm not a big pink fan.
Yes,
but it...
on her date, that little dress. I liked that dress, although I didn't love... it made sense for what they ended up doing, but the little white sneakers with it, I felt right. like were not actually the best match for the dress. But then when you see that they're going to like a music festival and gonna be walking around, it made a lot of sense to be wearing the sneakers.
Which just goes to show you like that they know where they're going before they go there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of acting that happens on The Bachelor. Like,
well, I think like maybe you don't know exactly what it is, but you're told by whichever like sneakers. Producer or handler to say like you got to wear comfortable shoes for this one, or like you're going to be on your feet all day, so dress accordingly or whatever it is. So they definitely give you a hint.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Bahamas?
He
was the singer.
I hadn't. So, I actually Googled because. And then I was looking at the genre, and I was like, according to my music interests, I should have heard of Bahamas, but I haven't.
What is it like? Is it like, let me guess, emo rock or something?
No, I think they said, like, indie folk, and I was like, I like indie folk? Why have I never heard of Bahamas? But at the same time, I'm like, I only discover new music now, generally, if, like, either a friend says something, or I, like, hear it somewhere, and I'm like, what's that? You know what I mean? So...
Well, he goes, well, we're going to go get backstage for Bahamas. And she goes, oh, my God, I love Bahamas.
Yes. And I was just like,
it's a lie.
Bahamas? I don't know Bahamas. But it was also funny to me because earlier in the episode at the wedding date, they had Michael Bolton there.
Oh, I know. What a trip, huh?
Yeah. Which is just like, wow. Okay. How much money did that cost you?
Maybe then nothing. They went back. Maybe
nothing. Maybe he was like, I'm going to do it for the promo.
Yeah, maybe he has a tour or an album or something.
I don't know. But I was like, Michael Bolton, an artist I have absolutely heard of.
Sure.
And then we go back to the standard in Bachelor World for me, which is someone I've never heard of before. When they say the name, I'm like, who? Should I look them up? You know, even though sometimes I actually like the songs that we hear on this show, I'll be like, oh, that's nice. But I usually have never heard of the person. But yeah, Daisy loves Bahamas, apparently.
More good acting. I don't know. I guess that's about it. One of the little women was wearing a baby blue dress during the rose ceremony.
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
I can't figure out who it was, but I was like, that's a color you don't see very often.
I would say I'd like to talk a little bit more about Maria's comfortable outfit for a moment, because I don't know if we fully even described this outfit. Is not just right. So it's a bra on top, as we mentioned. And then there's like a little. I mean,
is it like?
Oh, it's literally a bra. And then there's like a little shoulder shrug, like a long sleeve shoulder shrug. And then it's like an ankle length skirt. So torso and belly fully exposed, ankle length skirt. So it's interesting to me because I was like, it's sort of lingerie adjacent because the bra is the top, but then the skirt being so long is kind of an interesting juxtaposition there.
Right.
And apparently, according to the Instagram account, the Style Spotter, which I love to look at because they will identify stuff, that's like a $400 set that she wore,
including the bra.
Whole thing together, $400. So,
it's a bra. Technically, I think it's part of the dress. I think it's stitched to the dress.
I think looking at this, it's not attached to the bottom for sure because there's nothing that would attach it to the skirt. It might be attached to the sleeves, but I would tend to think that they're separate pieces that all come together, and then you're supposed to wear them together. But, like, it is essentially constructed like a bra, even though it is made to be a top. It's a bustier situation, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So that outfit was notable because of the attention it got in the episode, but also because in and of itself, it's kind of an interesting outfit, you know?
Well, and not to knock the dress she was wearing, the white one, that was a cool outfit, too.
Yeah, I would say that one probably wouldn't have caught my attention if she hadn't changed out of it. But it was like a white.
I mean, it was cool.
Sort of like a corsety middle.
Well, it showed off her assets, if you know what I mean.
Yes, it had a very deep neckline. Yes, so I would say those are obviously like, those are outfits you want to talk about. I was actually really interested in what Lauren, older sister, was wearing when she was eliminated.
It was like a purple leather. Yeah.
I thought that was actually a really cool dress. Like ankle length, purple leather, really tight. Thought it was a good
look. Not really my taste.
Interesting. All right, I was trying to figure out who was wearing the baby blue, and I think it was Kelsey A. from New Orleans.
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe it was her. It's not a big deal. I just thought it was an interesting color. Like, it's not a color you see on the rose ceremonies very often.
Yeah, I would say the dresses on the women who were having the stupidest drama on the cocktail hour. Maria was wearing like a red dress with a high neckline and a big slit on the leg, which I thought was a cute dress. And then I actually really liked, what's her name? Sydney. Sydney's dress I thought was very interesting. It was like black, but it has this cutout where it's like the boobs are covered and then the cutout goes between the cleavage and down to your like belly button area. And it was an interesting look. I just, you know, didn't love her shit stirring ways, but I thought the dress was cool. But she's apparently she's like a vintage store owner in Newport, Rhode Island. So I would expect she would have cool dresses. If she doesn't, it's like kind of a problem professionally for her.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you would think. Yeah.
Yes. So I thought there were a bunch of nice dresses on this episode, but there weren't a lot of like crazy standout ones, you know.
And what about Joey? Usual.
I often don't even notice what Joey is wearing on the
I know. No, but he's very well tailored, you know. It's like the suits, because he's kind of got a V shape to his body and his suits.
Yeah, I think he's probably easier to fit than several of the other bachelors because he's of an average normal man height, so you don't need to shop at like Big and Tall or whatever.
Right.
He's not like Clayton had that body that was just like, my shoulders are unreally large, you know, like that football body that you might need to get like custom tailoring to get those clothes to fit you. Whereas Joey seems like he could just wear off the rack stuff and it would fit him perfectly fine and look good. So yeah, I feel like I don't notice his outfits most of the time. I think it was just another like dark suit in the evening sort of thing. He was wearing something kind of casual on the date with Daisy in the evening. It was like a t-shirt and a sweater.
Yeah, I thought he kind of was dressed down a little bit.
Yeah, I thought she was more dressed up than he was on that date, which is interesting. I feel like they usually match more often. Maybe that's because the producers tell you, like, this is a dressy event or whatever.
Right.
So I would assume they're normally, you know, kind of a... matching a little bit more. But then there have been episodes in the past seasons where a contestant specifically color matches the lead, and presumably it's because they were told by somebody like, he's going to be wearing navy blue or whatever, you know, like, and that you're able to do that because what was it, I think Michelle Young did that a lot when she was a contestant. Like, she was like, oh, look at me matching your outfit perfectly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of that yet. Maybe we're going to get that later on.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so not the most exciting fashion week. the literal clothing moment of the episode is Maria slipping something more comfortable.
Teeing us up for a fashion roundup, and then it didn't really hit the home run. Okay, so what do we got to say about this wedding? I thought if you're going to have a bachelor group date, this is how to do it. Like, there was lots going on. There was multiple subplots that could be managed. You had Michael Bolton. I mean, it was like, it wasn't just like, let's all dress up and take pictures. It was like, let's all dress up and do all these mini exercises.
I thought it was going to be a photo shoot when they first, you know, got
Well, my point is to give everyone a chance to, like, participate in some way.
Yeah, I guess there's more opportunities to have a moment with him in this setup than in the photo shoot where you just would, I guess, have to whisper something to him as you're posing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was a little upset that we didn't get Franco LaCosta on the TV.
I know how much you love him. Yeah.
I love Franco LaCosta. Maybe we'll get him in a later episode this season. You never know. They have to fill a lot of dates. So there's probably a photo shoot one somewhere in there. It was interesting. I didn't love that the concept was the wedding reception where they're literally all married to him because it gave sister wives when they were like Mr. and Mrs. and Mrs. and Mrs. and Mrs. Mm-hmm. But the idea of being like, oh, you have to socialize with strangers with him. Oh, you have to feed each other food.
Is the concept of the show sister wives? Is it that they're not Mormon?
I mean, it was hitting it a little on the head because I was joking with Jocelyn, like, we'll text when we watch the episodes, and I keep on saying, you know, the tagline for the season is they're not saying it's the most dramatic season yet.
Romantic.
It's the most romantic one. I was like, is this the season where they end in a throuple?
Right, maybe.
And I'm like, maybe it is, but sometimes they'll lean really hard into the, like, well, you're all dating Joey, and it's like your sister wives aspect of the show, which is, like, can hit a little too close to other reality TV show concepts. So, I don't know. I thought it was fine. I enjoyed the moment where Evelyn leapt over the table to try to get that
seat. Yeah. And she didn't end up getting it. That was kind of funny.
No, she, like, it was Lauren, the older sister, had already sat down, and so she basically landed on her lap when she did the leap. But the fact that she was even able to, that was a pretty athletic maneuver. Like, she was able to spring over that table and get to the other side. That was kind of impressive.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if she has an athletic background due to that moment. I think what also made it extra funny to me, and I noticed in the photos that I was seeing on social media later, is that many of the women apparently took their shoes off for this moment.
Yeah, they did.
There's a lot of bare feet going on. So, like, she's, like, legs akimbo on the table, and there's just bare feet coming out of the...
Speaking of reality TV, Vanderpump Rules Season 11 premiered last night. I haven't watched it yet. I put it on my DVR.
So, you know, I've never watched Vanderpump Rules. I keep on thinking I might want to get into it for the drama, but then there's so many seasons that catching up is, you know.
I'm sure we'll have Rob on again from Vanderpump Rob's, the podcast. He fills in for you when you're not able to make it.
And we're the opposites because I know nothing about Vanderpump Rules, and that's his whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's do this paintball thing and then get out of here.
Okay, yeah, that date was fine. It was kind of, I would say, if I were a contestant on this show, I would rather be on the wedding date than the paintball date.
Oh, yeah.
In part because there's a chance you could get really injured on that paintball date.
Well, it wasn't even like an organized thing. There was no organization. There weren't even paintball guns. There were paint.
It was odd.
Splatter guns, you know.
And they've done something similar. I'm trying to remember. Was it Matt James's season where they did this in the woods that they were in wedding dresses and paint? So it was a combo basically of these two dates that they did on Matt James's season.
Do we have anything to say about Demi?
She really wasn't on for very long, so there wasn't much to say. I mean, she has bangs now. The bangs look good.
Yeah. Her makeup was awful, though. You could see how yellow it was. It was like Raven, her yellow makeup. It made her face look really yellow in the sunlight.
I feel like this is an issue of, do they get professional makeup artists for the guests, or do they make them do their own?
Right. Yeah.
I'm wondering about that. And you'd think they'd give them a professional makeup artist since they're guests and not contestants. And if they do, then that makeup artist is making some mistakes on the lighting issues here. Because, yeah, but I was like, this is fine. Not too much going on here. Date was a little lackluster, but sure. I did laugh at the aftermath of he can only choose one woman from the winning team.
I know.
Normally they all get time. And it basically guaranteed that the woman he picked would get that group date rose because she's the only one up for it. You know?
Exactly. And
but that was an interesting twist.
It wasn't even like a date environment. It was like, your extra time is going to Joey's room for 15 minutes.
Yeah, have a conversation with Joey on the sofa in his room.
It's so stupid.
But I think they've done that before, but it's usually not at this early in the season that they get one of those. So I don't know. It was interesting. I feel like I also was really interested in the reactions of the other women when they say that Edwina was chosen as the winner, and there's like dead silence for, and you know, they normally play act, even if they're not happy like, for them. They do a little like clapping hands or something to be like, oh, congrats, or have fun, or whatever. It was like, no one did that.
And, right.
And so it was really awkward. And Edwina's like, well, I'm happy I got the date. And I'm like, well, yeah, you obviously should be. It was just very weird that nobody
did. Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah, the fake thing. And then I think somebody after she said that was like, and you should be. Like, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was interesting. Maybe they were all just really tired at that point and they missed their cue.
Well, shit, you get like paint splattered in their face for, you know.
And then made them like, all dress up for the evening, knowing that only one would get selected. So they had to spend time putting on an outfit and makeup and hair. That was cruel. They should have just said who it was.
Yeah, that was cruel.
Yeah, I don't like when they do that, because I'm like, otherwise they could have had more downtime where maybe they took a longer shower to get the paint off or something.
Yeah, they all had to wash their hair. I mean, that takes hours to get ready, you know?
Yeah, because they were all super dirty from the date with like paint on them. So they had to all shower. Then they had to use one of their dresses that maybe they would have used at a different time. I mean, you probably still could reuse that one because it was barely on TV, but they don't necessarily know that, you know? So I thought that was cruel. I don't like when they do that kind of thing, to be like, everyone has to get ready, but only some of you will be going. It's like, well, just say who it is and then they're the one who gets ready or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. Cruel is the right word to use. That.
Yeah, it was just like casually cruel to be like, yeah, just make them spend time doing something and getting their hopes up. And then it's just actually wasted time because they're going to relax on the couch with the other women tonight. So they're going to have to go take off their dress and put on their like comfy hangout clothes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the nighttime portion, there wasn't. I would say we've already kind of talked about the two interesting moments, which were older sister Lauren's collapse and then the cake. Oh, that cake. I was kind of laughing when at that point they deliver the cake and Joey's like, do you still want to eat the cake anyway?
Well, what did the cake do? The cake was innocent in this whole thing, and it got thrown onto the...
must have requested a cake for their like one-on-one time. Which I'm not sure
like,
why.
Reset. Well, she kept saying it's like to reset. So she wanted to relive the
wedding.
What
does that mean?
Date.
Like, I guess that was it. She wanted to say because she was out of sorts on the wedding date.
That's how.
Okay, that makes sense. At the time,
but this
it was
poor
like,
cake.
Why is she getting a cake.
You know, it gets like thrown on the ground for no reason. It's like
they love throwing cakes on the ground in this show. They love it. I am sure that somebody was like, it would be fun if you threw it. You know what I mean? And she would have wanted to do it anyway. I think she was the kind of woman who enjoys throwing a cake. But I bet somebody whispered in her ear, like, you know, at the end, you're mad that it's not red velvet. You just throw it anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Because they really love showing shots of a cake on the ground in the Bachelor franchise. So they'll get that moment in any... I mean, we'll probably get another one this season, you know?
Probably, yeah.
I can't wait to see how we get another cake throwing shot this season. But yes, and then the whole thing where she requested red velvet, and you know on purpose they didn't give it to her to make her more upset. These producers are so diabolical because they're like, we're going to make her wait till last, knowing that she already has a weird complex about that. And I bet in some of her like interview time with them that we didn't see, they're probably like, wow, it's weird that Joey hasn't pulled you yet. Why do you think he's making you wait so long? Is it because he's not interested? You know? Like, I'm sure they're doing that to her. And she's having this whole, she's decided to literally go home. And then they hand her a cake. It's, the whole thing was ridiculous. But ultimately, probably for the best that she left at this time. Because she clearly was not having a good time in this house. And Joey didn't like it anyway, so there was the best case scenario for her screen time would have been she got another, like, two-ish episodes and did some other dramatic moments. But, you know, I'm kind of like, it's for the best for everyone that she just left at this stage. And then, of course, we have the age fight between Maria and, why I always forget her name, Sydney.
Right.
Which, and I also did laugh at Maria trying to apologize to Medina, the oldest woman in the house. And Medina being like, I am trying to be mentally ready for my time with him. And then we didn't even see their conversation.
I know. She was like setting up like something on the ground and like they didn't even show it.
But later on, she's in some conversation circle that Lauren, the older sister, is in, and they ask who got time. And Medina says she already got it. So they didn't show it to us. It must have been boring.
You know? Oh, my goodness.
No interesting convo about her being 31 that she had with Joey because they didn't show it to us.
Right.
So that whole thing was such a like Medina is even barely involved in this drama that is about Medina. Yeah, the whole thing is so silly to be like, you are downplaying her emotions of being a 31-year-old woman. How dare you? And then Maria being like, I'm 29, so we're the same age. And Sydney's being like, it's not the same. You're 2 years younger.
Yeah,
the whole thing is so, so, so silly. And you know it's going to come up again in this next episode, because that's the whole reason that Sydney's even still on this show, is for them to have like another argument. So we're going to get that at some point, and I can't wait to see what ridiculous thing it will be about. Will it still be about Medina being 31, or will it be about something else?
Right.
So that's it. You know, I can't even think of like, if anything else interesting happened. A couple of women went home. I guess I was slightly surprised that, what's her name? The dancing woman who has the curly hair. I thought he kind of liked her. So I was a little surprised.
I was surprised by that one too.
But I guess she wasn't in his, you know, his top few that he's selected. So they're like, well, she'd be cut at any time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, we can just end here, I guess. Yeah, I didn't. Was there a preview for next week? Because my DVR recording cut off, so I
cut out partway through. But all I remember from the preview is that you're going to see a Sydney and Maria fight.
Great
date, it looks like, maybe.
Cool. Okay.
So yeah, that's for sure going to happen.
That could hurt, you know, my prediction that she's the sex pick. We'll see.
It could. I think a lot of the women seem like they don't like Maria. And I believe it's partially because she's getting a lot of time with Joey. He seems to be into her. So obviously there's a jealousy angle. But then I also think it might be that, like, she's more outspoken and, like, a bigger personality than a lot of other people. So that might be grating on some of them. But it's hard to say, because sometimes in this house, like, people hate each other for literally no reason at all.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That it's like, they're just like, yesterday she cut me in the shower line, so she's dead to me, you know. So like literally any reason could come up, but I think it's a combo of those two, that Joey seems to be into her, and that she's very kind of flamboyant and loud, and she is gonna get haters for that reason. But I'm curious as to what's gonna happen, because I think he does like her and she could go far. But will repeated drama with several other women doom her?
We'll see. All right, follow us on social media. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. And we will see you next week.
Bye.